everyone. Welcome back to A Life Off KG. Today I have Megan on the show. Megan is part of my high level mastermind and I really wanted to get her on because I thought she'd resonate with a lot of you. So she has quite a lot of money blocks due to her upbringing and then what happened in her life, which she goes into. So she's actually gone from being bankrupt to now having over a six-figure business. So I really wanted you guys to hear it for some inspiration and some motivation. So without further ado, here she is. You guys that know me know that I love my supplements. It is a must as part of my lifestyle. And I personally use Sky Premium Life. They have a huge range to choose from. So no matter what you're kind of looking for, I'm pretty sure they're going to have. But I personally use the collagen and the hair supplements. And the difference in my skin and hair is absolutely incredible. They are super reasonable, so go and check them out. And if it was something that you also wanted to reach out, you can do that within your businesses. So we've recently brought them within the salon too, so our clients can then buy from us. But you can still just use it yourself or you can use it in your business. So go and check them out. And there is also a 15% discount code below in the show notes. Megan, welcome to the Life of KG. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for being here.
For having us.
Okay, so let's do a little intro. Tell us who you are, what you do.
Okay, so I'm Megan Patrick. I'm a super busy mom of two, and I'm also the owner and founder of the award-winning Brow Wow Specialist Brow and Beauty Bar. We are coming up to our 10th year next year, which just sounds insane saying that. And obviously we specialise in everything eyebrow, from our signature wow brow treatment to brow lamination, microblading and powder brows. And we also offer other treatments like lashes, waxing, skin peels, and most recently laser treatments.
Amazing. Like 10 years in business. So you feel my pain. It's stressful, right?
I don't know how I've got here, but...
I know, but you're still standing, you're standing strong, so it's amazing. Okay, let's take it right back so listeners get to know like who you are. Let's talk about childhood. What was it like growing up for you?
So I grew up in South Shields, in a little place called Leggett. I lived in a little flat, just me and my mum, little upstairs flat, and yeah, my mum was a single parent, so she wasn't able to work. She actually was a hairdresser, and then she got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in her 30s, and like had to give it up. So yeah, my mum didn't work, and obviously quite a low income family. When I was 11, we actually moved in with my nana because she had Alzheimer's, and she needed like 24/7 care, so we moved in with her. We ended up, me and my mum used to sleep in bunk beds in the spare bedroom because she only had like quite a small house. But I just remember being like really happy to be living in a house, because I remember like going to like friends' houses after school and things, and everyone had houses, and I just remember really wanting to live in a house. And my mum, bless her, she tried like for years to get us a house, and I think because it was just the two of us, like she struggled, like she couldn't get one. But yeah, although it was difficult, it wasn't like an ideal situation. Like I just remember being like really happy to finally be living in a house.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I mean, obviously that's like it I don't know, like it's like sad and then it's like happy at the same time.
I had like a nice childhood. It's just I just always remember like really wanting to live in a house, and then I'm like, oh, like that is really sad, isn't it?
Is there anything then from that that's like, as you've grown up, obviously you've got children, you've got a family.
Yeah.
Anything from that that's come from there?
100%. Like, I think like that is my drive. Like, I feel like I wanted to provide that for my children. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want them to be in that situation. So that is definitely like always in the back of my head, I think, even though it might even be subconsciously, because it's not until you really think about it that and go back that you realize where things have come from. But yeah, that is definitely a driving force, 100%.
Is there anyone in your family that was kind of like entrepreneur or had their own business where you got your business mind from?
All I have no idea. I think it was more so like later on when I went to dance college that it made us think, like, I feel like people who have like better things in life and more opportunities are people who have businesses or have really good jobs. Yeah, but I think before then I had never really thought about it.
Well, amazing, credit to your mum, because look how you've turned out, and being a single mum is so hard. So she's done an incredible job.
Definitely. I also, when I was 15, I got diagnosed with a brain condition. It's called idiopathic intracranial hypertension, and it basically means that either my brain doesn't drain the fluid quick enough or it makes too much, so like the fluid around my brain builds up. And to be fair, like a few medication changes, I have like managed to live a pretty normal life, but that was quite a difficult time as well, being 15, and I was losing sight in one eye. So yeah, like my mom did juggle like a lot, like definitely a lot.
That must have been scary. So is that an ongoing thing now? Like, do you have to stay on medication? How do you manage that?
Pretty well managed now, to be fair. I feel like since having the kids, like, I don't know if hormones make a difference, but it seems to be like more stable now. We was a little bit more up and down before. So yeah, luckily, like I say, a lot of people don't even know about it because I do manage to pretty much live like a normal life. So yeah, it's not something that, yeah, that many people know.
No, wow. So you've obviously got the salon now. Was having a salon something that you always wanted to do as a child, or was it something completely different? Because obviously you mentioned dancing.
Yeah, so even though like my mum had a hairdressing background, it's something that I like never ever thought that I would go into. Like it hadn't even crossed my mind, to be honest. All I ever wanted to do from growing up was dance. Even though, like I say, we didn't have a lot of money, my mum always made sure that I went to my dance lessons. Like I danced from being four, and it was all I wanted to do really. When I left school, I went to a local college and did musical theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, obviously it's such a competitive industry, like you have to have a good amount of training. So I applied for like theatre schools, dance colleges, and I was lucky enough to get a place. But I wasn't in the top percent who get a dance and drama award. So basically you have to self-fund, because it's not like a normal like degree university where you can get like a student finance or whatever. Like I kind of came crashing down to earth when I realized how much the fees were to go, and obviously like I didn't have the money to go. But being the determined person that I am, I was like, no, like I'm not giving up on this dream, like I'm gonna go anyway because I don't know what else I'm gonna do, so I'm just gonna make it work. Like I tried my best to get funding, pretty much exhausted all of them options, and at the finish at like 18-19 I ended up getting a bank loan, just like a normal bank loan, and off I went to college, theatre college, and yeah, I managed to get through my first year just working and obviously using my loan. And then it got to second year and I was like, I've almost run out of money at this point. And I mean, we lived in like the cheapest accommodation we could find. We had like a bench with a blanket over it for a sofa. Like it was literally like the most basic you can get. I remember going shopping like for my weekly food shop and getting like two bags of Smart Price pasta and a packet of custard creams, like with me and my housemate, because we both had like no money at all. And yeah, it was a struggle, but I got to my second year and the college gave us a 25% scholarship. So I was like, okay, now I've only got to find like $7,500. So I just tried to work as much as I could really. I was doing like 40 hour weeks at college and then just working like evenings, weekends, and they agreed to let me pay like monthly. So I was doing like a monthly payment, like fees and rent, like just getting by. I was there and I was doing okay. I think to be fair at that point, I did look around and think, like, the other people I was with, like, the parents did have good jobs or they had businesses, like I say. And I think it was then that I thought, like, maybe one day I'll have a business, because that seems to be the way that people make money or, like, have good jobs, like, obviously coming from a low income background. And then so I'm surrounded by, like, different types of people.
Yeah.
I managed to get a few months into second year, and then my brain condition relapsed again. So I was, like, losing vision in my eye, and I was still like, I'm not giving up on this. Like, I was going to college, like, dancing still, couldn't see half the time, but I was keep going. And I was thinking, if I can just get through to, like, Christmas, I don't want to get upset, I'm trying not to cry, but I was just like, if I can just get through to Christmas, and then I can get home and get sorted out. And then it got to, like, 3 weeks before Christmas, or maybe four, and it actually came down with tonsillitis, probably because I was eating so crap. Came down with tonsillitis, and that ended up turning into something called Quincy, which meant, like, I had an abscess in my throat that was blocking my airway. So at that point, obviously, I did have to give in and go to hospital. And I ended up being in hospital for a couple of weeks, like, had a lumbar puncture, got the fluid under control, got my abscess sorted out. And then I went back to college, and I think there was about a week to Christmas, and I was in panic mode because I was already, like, behind on my payments. Like, I was literally getting that money weekly, and it was going out at the end of the month, so I already knew that I was going to be behind. And then the day I went back to work, the place I work lost the license, and I was like, oh my god, like, I lost my job. So at that point, I think I was just like, I didn't have a choice, like, I just had to go home. And, like, obviously I'd only done a year and a bit of my degree, which was, and obviously spent all that money, like, all that, like, money that I owed.
How much was that in total?
I think by that, I ended up eventually about, I think it was about 12, 13 grand in debt. Even when I went home, it was still building. Like, obviously I'd signed contracts to pay those payments, and I didn't have a job. I literally had nothing. I moved back home, back living with my mom. Obviously I just had absolutely nothing at all apart from this debt. And then I was thinking, like, I just need to get a job, get myself sorted out. I did do a couple of dance jobs, actually. I did, like, a few pantos, and I toured with a magician, like, as a magician's assistant, which I love, but the pay was rubbish. And it was like, obviously I had all this, like, hanging behind us, and I felt like I didn't have the confidence to go to, like, the big auditions, like, you know, what I wanted to do, like, the West End shows, because I hadn't finished my training, and I was going to be up against people who'd finished their degree and done their 3 years. So I just felt like I just couldn't do that. So I started looking for jobs, and I just couldn't even get an interview. Like, it was just so difficult. I just was applying for everything. I mean, you name it, I applied for door-to-door sales, like, just anything. I just needed a job so badly. And then, like I say, I just wasn't even getting interviews, I think, because of, like, the experience and I was only qualified in since school in dance. So it was just really difficult to get anything. I did work part-time, like, delivering pizzas for Domino's, but the hours just weren't enough. I kept getting sent home and they weren't busy. And it got to the point where I thought, I just need to, like, retrain and just find a different career path. Like, I just need to get another qualification, something that's not, like, dancing. Just do something else. So I went to the local college, and I basically just went in, and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I've got a bit of experience in we've done, like, some stage makeup and some sports massage as part of, like, my dance training, and I'd also done, like, a little bit of fitness and nutrition. So I was kind of like, I could go, like, beauty, or I could go, like, more into fitness, like I've got a little bit of experience in those things. And the lady was like, actually, like the beauty course is starting tomorrow, so if you want to like jump on that, you can come in, you can start tomorrow. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. So obviously I enrolled on that, started my level 2 beauty, and then I got a part-time job in a salon while I was doing that. And then I ended up getting a job for Benefit Cosmetics on the Brow Bar, which I absolutely loved. And I think at that point, like this new passion was just born for doing brows. Like I just absolutely loved the transformation that you could make in such a small amount of time, in such a short treatment, like the difference you could make someone's face and like how they felt. Like I just loved doing that. And I think it was at that point I was like, this is something that I can build on, because like I found a new passion. And I think it was around this point I'd pretty much been declared bankrupt. It was like the one before you go bankrupt. And I found the Princess Trust. And I did the enterprise course. I'd finished my beauty course by then, and I did enterprise course with the Princess Trust, and I had like a mentor to help us do a business plan. Went back and forward for a long time, getting that sorted out, doing some test trading. Obviously I had no clue what I was doing, because I'd never like known anyone in business or done anything like that before. So I went to panel, and I managed to get a grant for £750 to buy like equipment and like get started up, which was that actually at the time was the highest amount that you could get awarded. So I was so grateful for that. So off I went with my check to cash my check and buy my products. And I couldn't get a bank account because no banks literally wanted to know. Like I was walking around with this check and I was like, all I want to do is cash the check into a bank account so I can like start this business. And yeah, just remember like going around town centers, just trying all the different banks and like give them my deals, and then they'd be like, no, sorry, like we can't do it. I think in the end I ended up having to just get the cash, or I don't know if my mom ended up having to get it for us. But yeah, I couldn't even get a bank account at that point. It was really, really bad. But I started in my mom's kitchen doing my treatments, and that was the start of Brow Wow, in 2014.
Wow. I appreciate you being so open with that, because lots of people would hide it away. They maybe be ashamed, like all of that stuff. And you just literally opening up and telling us that is like incredible. Especially when I know the journey that you've gone on to from there, which we'll talk about. So the determination, I think, just shows it, right? If you've got the determination to keep going, you somehow make it work.
Sometimes I think I'm like too determined for my own good.
It's so, so good. So, okay, you set up in your mom's kitchen, but you've gone on now to having the salon. So how did that growth happen there?
So obviously I started in my mom's kitchen. I got like a beauty bed and things, and then after a while I went mobile and I was going like to people's houses. I didn't know obviously anything really about business or what I was doing. I was probably like massively undercharging, because I wasn't really I wasn't making any money. Like I think my turnover in my first year was about £2,000. Like it was really slow. And was going around, and I had built a few clients up. I had like some regulars, but it was the time it was taking to get houses and then do the treatment, like for what I was charging, it was in covering fuel and products and things. Like I say, I probably wasn't really even making any money. And then I remember one day my wax pot spilt everywhere, and I was just like, oh my god, what am I doing? Like why am I doing this? Maybe I should just get a job, like maybe this is not for me. And yeah, I think I was having a look on Indeed one night when I was just like having a little breakdown and thinking I can't do it anymore. And I actually found a room rental advertised on Indeed, and it was for a salon, like a tanning salon in Lowfell, which I'd never heard of. It was only about 20 minutes from where I lived, but I'd never been to this place before. And I was like, I'll go and have a look and we'll see. So I went and have a look. It was really nice, like a really nice area. And then I thought, I've got no clients here. Like, my mobile clients are all in South Shields. Like, are people really going to drive like 20 minutes, half an hour, when they used to make up another house? And then I thought, I've managed to build that little client base that I've got. Like, all I've got to do is duplicate that here, and then I can make it work. That's like a second, like, income almost. So I continued doing my mobile clients, and then I did like 3 days in the salon that rented the space. And actually the second week that I was there, I found out that I was pregnant with my little boy. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is, like, I can't believe this has happened. Like, but at that point, I think I knew that I had to make it work. Like, it wasn't just me anymore. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I had to do it. So I just had to be determined. And I think my first like couple of weeks, I had like one or maybe two clients. I found my diary actually in the drawer a few weeks ago, in like one at the back of the kitchen drawer. And I was looking through and I was like, oh my God, like, one client, like, I was going in to the salon, like, driving 20 minutes for one client, paying my rent, probably still not making any money. And I ended up having to go back to work when my little boy was like 7 weeks, because I didn't have a choice. It was my only income. And I remember my mom used to sit in the cafe next door, and because I was breastfeeding, so I used to be like doing a client, like going through the cafe and feeding, coming back in. But I just had to make it work. And then from there, I stopped doing mobile because I was just sick of like looking everything around, and obviously the time and it takes. I could do double the clients. I was starting to get busier at this point. And I ended up renting another space in another salon in South Shields. So then I kind of had the two separate locations. Then I built up and I took on my first staff member, mainly to help out in the Lowfell salon, because that was building up like a lot more. And then I ended up renting a space in a nail salon in Hebburn. And then we used to take turns and kind of go between those two places. I just kept doing what I was doing, like taking on more staff. And it got to the point where like Lowfell had grown quite a bit. And we actually had, I took on another room in the salon because there was four of us by this point, and I was still renting my space, but I think I was just scared to like commit to spend more money. Do you know what I mean? I was like, it's a big thing. And obviously I'd never done anything like that before. So there was four of us working between two rooms in the salon, and it was just getting crazy. Like, we were stepping on each other, and I just felt a bit bad on who I was renting off, because I felt like I was almost taking over their salon. So then I was like, right, it's time now. Like, this is the busiest location. Like, I need to open a salon here. So yeah, this is where I'm sat now. This is first like proper salon in Lowfell. And since we opened here, we've just grown even more, took on another staff member. We still do pop-ups, but like not as much now. I do, obviously, you know, I've got plans to expand on that at some point. Among the day-to-day running a salon.
You're super busy now, and I think it's so good how you gradually grow. I mean, I was crazy. I opened up a salon with not one client, like no one knew who I was, and it was slow. Just obviously like your first year as well, like you said, but from it was very clever you building up in someone else's salon, gradually getting busy, and then being like, okay, we're busting now, we need to go move to an actual location, your own location. So a really, really smart move. And also, I've been to your salon. We had a VIP day not so long ago, and like, you've got the most beautiful salon and wonderful staff. You went from obviously being in that debt and bankrupt. You've now grown your salon, like, obviously huge. What would you say your money mindset is now?
This is a tough one, because you know, there's definitely some money blocks there from like the past and being in debt. I think although obviously the business is really successful, sometimes like split it, like thinking more the business is separate to me. Like sometimes in my head, I think I'm still that girl that doesn't have a job and has no money. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I think that's still quite deep rooted in there, which I am working on. I remember when you came in the summer and we had that chat, and I was like saying that I paid my staff like higher wage than myself, and you were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, I'm just scared. But I am getting better. I paid my dividends to myself the last couple of months, and like sometimes I just have to like say to myself, like, Megan, like, you know, you've got a six-figure business now, like, you're not that person anymore. Like, if you want a pair of trainers, like, buy a pair of trainers, you know what I mean? But I think there's definitely like some blocks there, 100%, and I am cautious. But in a way, it's been better because it's meant that everything that the business has made, I've just reinvested back into the business, which has obviously helped us grow. And like, I don't have to worry about paying the girls and like the money being in there. So I think I do, I like to be in that position where I'm not panicking about what's coming in. I think I just always think like, I never want to be back in that situation. So I'm definitely over cautious, but I am definitely working on it. It's something that I am getting better. I'm getting better now.
It's great, because I guess you could have went one or two ways. You could have been like, my God, I'm now taking over 100 grand. Let's splash it all and then go back to actually, because we can be making lots of money, but if we spend it all, we can actually go back bankrupt quite easily. Cash.
Yeah, I know, like, obviously, like, the business does well and takes a lot of money, but then there's also a lot of outgoings, like, the rent in the location are is quite expensive, and I just think, yeah, I always need to know that I've got that to pay, so, and then I think, like, there was also an element of guilt there, because I sometimes think, like, oh, what if my kids need that money, or what if, like, you know, like, I lost a staff member, and then things, like, roll downhill, and I think I just, yeah, I like a safety net to know that I'm not going to go back to where I was, I think.
But,
you know, the business, like, is successful. I think it's just me. I tend to separate myself and think that's not my money, that's the business. Like, that money belongs to the business.
It does, right? Limited company, it is that. But I think it's about having that happy medium of, I have buffers. I have buffers in the bank, but I also can spend on what I've built and not being guilty for that, which comes with time, right?
It does. Like I say, it's definitely, I've paid my dividends the last couple of months, and I am getting better.
Yeah, that's so good. So you're currently in my mastermind, which is like the top way to physically work with me. How would you say that having a business coach / mentor is important, and how has it changed business for you? Because obviously you had that with the Prince's Trust right at the beginning, but obviously this is on a next bigger scale.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, it's really important to have a mentor that's in the industry, because, you know, you can get business mentors that are just general mentors, and I feel like the running of a salon and like the how things work, it can be a lot different to other businesses. Like, I think like staffing's quite a big issue in most salons, and I think having someone that understands that industry is really important. Like, not just having like a business coach or mentor, but someone who is actually in the industry and has done it themselves. As well as having, I mean, there's been so many times when I've like had questions and thought, like, is that right to do, and then it's like there's no one to go to, because like, who do you ask these things, like, when you're the boss, like, it can be lonely. And I think it's great to have someone there that you can just even just run things by. Like, sometimes you just, you know, you want to do something, but you just want to know there's someone like behind you that's backing you and like can give you advice if things go wrong. And I think as well, when you need like a service, you need to introduce something into the business, so many people just want to sell to you. Like, I think you don't know who to trust almost. Like, whereas when you have a mentor that's in the industry that you can go to, you can get recommendations, and, you know, you're probably saving yourself money as well in the long run, because you're not just jumping on things, and you, yeah, it's just, it's good to have definitely have someone there and fighting your corner and just to support you really, because like I say, when you're the boss, you haven't got anyone else.
Yeah, it is super lonely. And I guess also, for me and having a coach, it's that accountability as well. Like I say, I want to do these things, but then if I wouldn't have anyone like in that corner, I'd be like, oh, I really want to do that, but it's not really getting done. And let's just leave it. Whereas once you've told a mentor what you're going to do, it's kind of like, okay, have we done that yet? And what's the next steps after that? So it definitely helps with accountability.
Easily get caught up in like the busy day-to-day of like running the salon, so yeah, that 100% helps having those like set days where you go over things and say like, have you done this yet? Like, and I think the people that you meet as well, like obviously we've got a lovely group, haven't we? And
I love it.
The girls, like when you see what people are coming up against and you think that was me 2 months ago, or like someone else has got an issue and you see that advice they're getting and you think like, if that happens to me, then I'm going to feel better about it because I'm going to know that that's what they had to do to get through that. So yeah, it is really helpful. I'm glad that I just wish I found you sooner, Kate. probably would have been flying a lot more now, but
so. You're doing amazingly, absolutely amazingly. So those that are listening and want to grow their business, what tips would you have for them?
So I definitely say having belief, like you definitely have to believe that you can do it, because yeah, it's only going to work if you believe in it. And if you can't believe that you can do it, then make it smaller, make your goal smaller. And then when you get there, your belief will go up and then you can move on from there. I feel like I'm really fluffy with my mindset, but when I'm on it, it does 100% work. And I love the motto, whatever the mind can conceive and bring itself to believe it can achieve. So yeah, that's definitely having the belief. I think you've got to want to help people, because if you are just trying to build a business to make money, when the days when you're not making money, there has to be something else there. Like I absolutely love what I do. Like I have so much passion. Like when I hand the client the mirror, like I get some clients in who, you know, have had like chemotherapy, they don't have brows, and when you can give them like brows and you can literally change someone's life, like that feeling is the best. Like sometimes that is better than the money that goes in the till. Obviously everyone needs to earn a wage, but I think you have to be passionate about what you do. You have to find a pain point and really be able to help someone with that, because when you start out and you're not making money, but you know you're making a change, you're making a difference, like that is going to get you through. Like it can't just be about the money that you're making, like you have to genuinely want to help people and have a passion for it. And I think finally, like just to keep going really, like I often say to people, like running business is a little bit like being on a treadmill that you can't get off, and sometimes you really really want to get off, but you know that you can't stop, because if you do, you're going to end up like crumbled up in a heap. So yeah, just keep moving forward. You know yourself, obviously running a business is really hard work, and I think I didn't have a clue how hard it would be. And I think when you're a mom as well, then it becomes like double hard. Sometimes you feel like the treadmill's going up on an incline and you're like, I can't do this. But then you just have to keep moving forward. Like even if you're crawling along that treadmill, as long as you're still moving forward and just not stopping, then you're fine. So yeah, just keep moving forward. Like even if, and I've definitely been crawling on that treadmill a few times. But yeah, you just have to keep it moving forward, and yeah, and have the belief and you'll get there.
I love that analogy. It's so, so true. I'm constantly on that treadmill. Where can people connect with you?
So I am on Facebook, Instagram at Brow Wow Bar. We also have a website, which is browwowbar.co.uk. Any of those ways.
Amazing. So if you're listening, please go and check that out. Give Megan a follow. If you've loved this episode, if it's inspired you, then please make sure that you tag both of us, give it a share on social so we can reach as many people as possible, because I know your story is going to resonate with so many people. So thank you so much for sharing. I'm next seeing you in Marrakesh, which is exciting.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
I know, me neither. We've as part of the mastermind, we get a retreat, and so we're going to Marrakesh, and it's going to be amazing in January. So I'll look forward to seeing you next then. But thank you very much for being really open and honest, and obviously I can't wait to see what the rest of this year is going to bring you.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.